Well, good morning, everybody. I hope good and full, and I hope that's more than just your stomach. I hope God's already began to speak to you. I know he has to me. I just want to read this morning from Matthew chapter 20, starting at verse 1. I'll read this, and then we'll pray together. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' And they said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go to the vineyard too.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those he had hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. And now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour. And you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Father, we thank you for this day. Jesse and I were talking before today started, and God, really, it's just a simple thing. You're, in human terms, maybe not a fair God. We look at this story like today, and maybe we too would be one of the ones that would grumble and say, "I've done work my whole life for you." And Father, the people that just now give their life to you get the same. Father, your fairness may not seem earthly, but your grace is amazing. Father, something that we don't deserve, an unmerited favor that you look at us, each and every person here, no matter their story, no matter their walk of life, no matter what they've done or doing or will do. Father, we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of your glory, and your Bible tells us that there's wages for that, just like in the story today, that there are wages for that. And Father, I'm so glad that you paid the price for me. You paid the price for others here today too. Maybe even those that don't know that yet. Maybe today would be the day of understanding. That's what we pray. Father, I get asked many times by people that come through even a line like today and say, "Why do y'all do this? Why are you out here?" Father, it's not to check off a list. It's not to feel good. It's not to do any of these things. First off, Father, I believe as I pray many times, you're building a family of God out here together. But Father, why would we do what we do is simply this. We want people to understand, just like Jesse said today, that you are enough. That's simply it, that you are enough. No matter what we're going through, no matter what the situation, we could fill in the blank all day long of scenarios, but to understand the answer is you, that you're enough. I believe that with my heart. I would give my life on it. If my life was demanded today and asked to give away that truth or I was going to lose my life, Father, I would lose my life and bank on the fact that when I opened my eyes, I would see you and that it was enough. Father, that's my prayer today, that everyone can have that same confidence, not in their own strength. Father, we pale in comparison to our own strength, to your holiness. But Father, because of you, because of your goodness, your grace, we, as Jesse just sang beautifully over us, we have the ability to be called sons and daughters. That's an amazing thing. We thank you for it. We pray all these things and ask that you would speak by the power of your Holy Spirit today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to share with you just a couple of things, a couple of thoughts this morning from this parable. As Jesus did many times, I believe in the parables, Jesus used real life scenarios of what was going on. In fact, if you read the Bible and you use an extra little biblical imagination, I'm sure you could see this with me. I picture Jesus to be the type that was walking with his disciples, and when he began to tell a story about, say there's a farmer in a field. I believe you could look off in the distance and maybe even see a farmer in a field working. And Jesus used these lifelike stories of walking with his disciples and said, "Let me tell you a story about a farmer in a field." And they would look and they would see. It's no different from this story. In fact, there's a story that happens right before this in Matthew of the story of the rich young ruler. You may have heard this story. This is a guy that was, we know a couple of things about him. He was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. This is a guy that had it all together, right? Had everything that we would sign up for and say in life, man, I'll take some of that, right? I would love to be rich. I would love to be young again, amen? Amen. And I wouldn't mind being a ruler. Nobody telling me what to do, being in charge of something. And so all these things, we hear this story, and this guy comes to Jesus and really has lived a pretty good life by all sets and circumstances of what we know. In fact, he really had prided himself when he came to Jesus. He said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That's what he comes and he asks Jesus. And Jesus says this, I want you to go and take everything you have. I want you to sell it. I want you to give it to the poor. And I want you to know that's not necessarily a prescription for everybody, but in this case, Jesus was able to look beyond all of these commandments that this guy thought he had made and kept. And it wasn't about the physical things, it was about the heart. Jesus knew that there was something lacking in his life, something that was Lord in his life over him, and that was his wealth. That was his age, and that was his position. That was Lord of his life. And it says that he walked away very distressed. He couldn't do what Jesus asked. He couldn't give away everything that he had and follow Jesus. And so Jesus is right from that story. And as people are following and they've seen this unfold, they've seen the man walk off and say, I can't give up these earthly things to follow you, Jesus. Jesus immediately goes in this story. I want you to listen to the words just before. See if this sounds familiar this morning. So Jesus had talked to the rich young ruler, and after this, he says this, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sister and fathers or mother or children or lands for my name's sake, Jesus talking, will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and last will be first. And so Jesus is taking this lifelike story, this story that had just happened, and he's seeing this audience that is still sticking around for some reason and saying, man, I want some of whatever this guy has. It was infectious. And they stuck around and they listened, and he said, now let me tell you a story again about those who are first that will be last and those who are last that will be first. Jesus is telling a parable about the kingdom of heaven. He's explaining things that have yet to be explained to people and maybe even certain groups of people. In fact, really, if you want to look at what's going on in this passage that we read today, he's talking to a certain group of people, the Jews who had known about God and his Messiah all this time. They had been invited long ago. But then there were other people, other workers that were invited to the vineyard. That's the Gentiles. That's you if you're not a Jew this morning. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that invitation. I'm grateful for an invitation to a great banquet that says everybody is welcome. Listen to me. Raise your hand this morning if you're in everybody. That's you. Everybody raise your hand this morning. Raise your hand and look at me this morning. Everybody, feel me this morning. I want you to raise your hand and know this. There is room at the table for you. Amen? Everybody. And you may say, man, preacher, that's good for you because you're standing with your Bible in your hand. I don't care if you had a needle in your arm this morning. I don't care if you've killed somebody. I don't care what you've done. There's room for you at the table. And listen to me. The great thing about this, I'm getting a little excited about this morning. The great news about this, I'm going to go on and take it a step further than the good news. The great news is this, is that that seat at the table isn't some hired hand. The seat at the table isn't, oh, that's my son I'm ashamed of because he had a needle in his arm this morning. The seat at the table is this, that the King of all kings, the name that everyone will bow to, whether it's the White House or the outhouse that you live in, one day your knee will bow before a holy God. And what he does is this, is that no matter our status here on this place, the seat at the table is, that's my son, that's my daughter. I want to tell you, that's good news this morning. That's great news, the fact that it really doesn't matter what you've done, what you're doing, or what you will do. It's all based on the act of what Jesus has already done for you. Jesse, you believe that this morning? Grace is available. It's available for you. If you've never accepted that, if you're running from it, as Jesse said, man, the seat at the table is still open. It's still got your name on it reserved for you. Come on in, have a seat, my son or my daughter. And that's good stuff this morning. And so Jesus is continuing here as he does in many of these parables. And really he goes on and is telling this story, following this rich young ruler, this account of telling that first will be last and last will be first. And then he tells this story of laborers in the vineyard. You can picture it, right? This line of people wanting work, and some were called and some were given an invitation. And then they go and they put the time in. They're working hard. And then they imagine them, the sweat still on their brow, right? I'm bald headed. It's easy to sweat out here. Probably got a pile up here already. And as they're sweating and they're working in the hot sun, they see other folks come and start working as well. And as those groups continue to work and continue to work, they see other people being invited in and coming and working at the vineyard, and then more and then more. And at the end of the day, they're all paid the same. I want to tell you, in earthly standards, we would be mad too. We would say, hey, wait a minute. I've done a whole day's worth of work and they've only done a little bit, and now you're meaning to tell me they're going to get paid the same that I am? God's not fair in earthly standards. In fact, I'm going to be just completely honest with you this morning. I'm so grateful that God is not fair, because fair means that I earned a wage of what I've worked for, and the Bible tells me that's death and that's the only thing I can earn. I'm so glad that he's not fair this morning. I want to tell you just a couple of things this morning, and remember that this is relating to the kingdom of heaven on earth and in eternity. God is up front with us. That's the first thing I want you to understand. He is real up front. He is so up front laying out his plan and all this, just like this master hiring laborers. He tells them, hey, if you'll work for me a day, here is your pay. He's real up front with what's going on. The Bible is really clear on this, that you and I have earned wages by taking our first breath. Anyone here born of a woman? That's how you got here, right? Everybody that drew that first breath, that cried in the hospital, that did all the things, you don't believe me and say, well, these kids are precious. You stick some toys out there and listen to how many minds go on. They're great. They're wonderful. But they're selfish. You are too. I am. Right? From the day we draw our first breath. And it says our wages from that is death. But listen, I'm here to tell you the great news this morning, that someone paid the price you couldn't pay. Somebody laid down his life for you. He's real up front, though. He's real up front that that's the option. You either work your life and try to be good, or go on your own if you want to fly by the seat of your pants and just hope that when you die, everything works out okay. He's up front by telling you your wages are death, and not just a physical death, but an eternal death. Or, he adds the idea, you can also live that life, and the wages you earn is grace and mercy. I don't know about you, but when it says wages are death, our wages are grace and mercy, sign me up for the grace and mercy. I want that. And it's available. It's free. God is real up front with this. I want you to know another thing I believe from this passage. Listen to me this morning. Who was he hiring? He was hiring workers. You know what that shows me? There's work to be done. Here's what that means, that no matter where you're at in your life, that when you come to him, when you have this relationship with him, there is work to be done. He has a purpose for you. I want you to look at me this morning. Understand, anybody know the name Billy Graham? Most people know that name. Yep. Billy Graham's like 183 years old. I mean, he has lived forever. All right? He's gone across the world and preached the gospel and all these things. I want you to listen to me. I believe this with all my heart. Think he's a good man, never met him. I believe him to be what he says, but I want you to know this. Listen to me. Billy Graham cannot do what God created you to do. It's specific for you. It's a purpose that only you can fulfill. And I want to tell you this morning, if you've never felt love, to understand that, one, you can be called a son, a daughter of God, and that he created you with a job you can only do, come on. That's good stuff. Man, that's grace and that's mercy, and the fact that we could be a son or daughter and have a purpose that only we could fulfill. And that means we need to get to work wherever you're at. Whoever God has surrounded you with, that there's a job for you to do. And so he's real up front about the wages, and he's real up front that there's work to do. And I also tell you good news this morning. It's not too late. I want to tell you, this is one of my favorite sayings, and I don't know that it's original, but God gave me this a long time ago, is that if you have a pulse, you got a purpose. Listen to me. Pulse equals purpose. That means if you're breathing, man, it's not too late. You could say right now, man, you don't know what I've done. Listen to me. I do know that Jesus himself, God in the flesh, walked this life and thought it enough to tell a story where he says, listen, there'll be some that come to me early in the process and they're going to work all this time. They're going to do all these things. But listen to me, there's going to be some that come that are late to the party and they get the same thing. If you're here today and you're just like Billy Graham and 183 years old, it is not too late for you. You can come to him and say right now, I'm going to bend the knee right now and humble myself and say, I don't want the wages that I've earned. I don't want death. I want the grace and mercy. I believe he's gracious and merciful enough to say, my son or daughter, get up off them knees. Come on to me. Man, that's good stuff this morning. And so we see in this parable that he's up front with us. There's work to be done, and it's never too late. I think this morning, the last thing I want to share is that if that's the case, if that's true, then opportunity should be given. I want you to know right here in this moment, right now, in the city streets of Birmingham, Alabama, I want you just to stop and take in our surroundings this morning. There's some beautiful people this morning. I want you to look around, beautiful people. And when God created each and every one of us, he said, that is very good. All right? Each and every one of us created with the opportunity to be sons or daughters of God. Look, people on the interstate right now just flying by, people going about their daily life. This beautiful creation, the skies, the trees, all of these things that God created, this cool breeze that is kind of blowing on my back that I'm thankful for. All of these things, a gift from God. The God that spoke all of this into existence wants to have relationship with you. I want you to look at me this morning and understand this one last thing. God is not mad at you. He's not. But there will be a moment where it's too late. There will be a moment when you draw your final breath and there is no changing of destinations. There is no change of plans. There will be a moment that it's too late. Now, he's gracious because he's giving you what? A pulse. And that means a purpose. I believe the purpose is to know him and then to serve him. Would you meet him today if you don't know him? Would you meet him today if you know him? Would you serve him and just say, man, wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, I know he's giving me a purpose because I still got pulse. If you ever want to wake up and say, man, do I still have purpose in this life? Do I still belong? Can I still be used? If you'll just reach down and check that old pulse, I do it every once in a while. I say, God, just remind me of that as I feel, man, because listen, as much as you can take care of yourself, as much as you want to exercise, you can tell I don't. But as much as you do and want to do, you cannot add a minute to your life if he doesn't sustain you. It's a gift. Now, why would he have you alive right now? He would have you alive so that you'd have opportunity to know him if you know him, an opportunity to continue to serve him. And that one day when you see his face, he's going to say, man, come on home, my son or daughter. Amen. It's going to be a beautiful day. I pray you're ready. Today, I want you to listen to me with all seriousness. If you're here this morning and say, I've never ever entered into that relationship. I've never become a son or daughter of him. It's so easy. Would you just come talk to me this morning? I'd be glad to pray with you. If that's you this morning, you already have that. Man, why not live today and say, man, a God that good. Man, I can't help but serve him. I can't help but tell others about a God that good. That's what he has us here for, to extend that kingdom of heaven that he's given us, all right? I just want to pray. God, if you will, just bow your head and close your eyes this morning. Just think for just a second. Do you need to do business with him this morning? If so, today is the day. Don't put it off. I just want to pray God's blessings over you. You come see me or somebody today. Talk and let's get that straight. Father, we love you. We thank you. Father, it's a continual reminder that we will say each and every week out here because we believe it's our mission to remind people, no matter who we encounter, to remind people that we have the ability to be called sons and daughters of the King. That's an amazing thing. Father, think about that. Really, the God that created this universe and all things in it, we have the ability to be called sons or daughters, not on our own merit, not on our own favor, things that we've done, but unmerited favor. It doesn't matter about us. It matters about what Jesus did for us. So when you look at us, we're covered in that blood, covered in that death on the cross, and that only that. That's the only way that, Father, we can enter into your presence one day and you say, son or daughter. While it's available for all, doesn't matter what we've done, your grace can cover that. And so I pray that today. I pray if there's anyone struggling with that. I pray if there's anyone struggling with the idea of purpose, why am I here? Why do I belong? Where do you have me at, God? I pray that you would understand, help them to understand that if they've got pulse, they've got a purpose. So God, just speak that this week. When the enemy whispers, when the enemy shouts it even, of you're no good or you don't belong or there's no reason for you being here. Father, I pray that your still small voice would even yell if necessary and just say, no, you've got purpose. My son, my daughter, you've got purpose. Remind us of that. We love you. We need you. All of us, we need you. We thank you. And we pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, guys, thank you so much for being here.